Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may dwell upon the earth, and certainly a program that I believe is important for all people, because the principles that I espouse on this program, that the European Unity and Rights Organization stands for, those principles certainly are principles that we feel are good for all people, not just our own people. And when we expose the hypocrisies and the dangers, the threat of Jewish supremacism around the world, not only to the Palestinian people, but really their threat is to all peoples. The Europeans, recently in a national, in fact an international poll, European poll, EU poll, showed that the vast majority of Europeans thought that Israel was the greatest threat to world peace. Although the media often portrays Israel as a nation campaigning against terrorism, most of the world overwhelmingly views Israel as a terrorist nation, which indeed it is. It always is shocking to Americans when I tell them that the only Middle East government that's attacked the United States of America with terrorist attacks has been the nation of Israel. Recently, I was on a plane from Eastern Europe to the United States of America, and I started talking to a gentleman who was in fact, he had a doctorate from MIT. He did systems. He also did 3 tours of duty in Vietnam, former colonel. He seemed rather intelligent, and I began to tell him about the Israeli terrorist attacks, laying out the facts of the Levant affair, laying out the facts of the USS Liberty attack, laying out the Israeli treachery and concerning the Jonathan Pollard spy case that devastated American intelligence in Europe. And after a while, he was soaking it in. He couldn't argue with the thing. I think he was starting to get it, and he finally said to me, he said, "Well, this, you know, you are really scary. I hope you're not teaching it to those kids in those universities." And he almost ran away from me. He was so, I don't know, afraid. I really can't explain how he had the reaction that he had. And I try very carefully to explain things carefully and not to do so in a terribly shocking or a terribly controversial way. And later I came up to him and I said, "You know, the truth is that you shouldn't be scared of me. You should be scared of the fact that you as an American citizen don't even realize that there's never been any big deal about Israel committing terrorist attacks in the United States, that most Americans have no idea that Israel has committed terrorist attacks on the United States of America." Last night I discussed for a moment the Israeli upholding of the in the Supreme Court the ruling against family reunification, in that Israel is prohibiting Jews who are married to Palestinians. And by the way, there's very little DNA difference. There is a DNA separation and difference. In fact, there even is evidence, and this was in the Times of London and many major sources, that Israel's trying to create an ethnic virus that attacks, you know, non-Jews, and by distinguishing certain genetic markers. But they're very close people. They're certainly far more similar than whites or even Asians or whites and Africans. Yet they literally do not let people who are married reunify. Let me give you a little quote from Haaretz newspaper in Israel. And the headline is, or the quote of it is, "The Supreme Disgrace of Israeli's Racist Law." And it says, quote, "It does not matter at all what the ruling says or how instructive the positions of the minority justices. There is no country in the Western world that does not limit immigration and set priorities in accordance with its needs at a given time. Immigration laws make it difficult for foreign partners of citizens to receive citizenship, and they combat fictitious marriage. But not one single Western country discriminates against some of its citizens by pressing laws that apply only to them and that impose limits only on their choice of a partner with whom they can live in their partner in their homeland." In other words, only Israel, of all the Western nations, restricts a person who's married to a foreigner from that foreigner from coming and living in the United States. I must say, the United States, though, does put tremendous barriers against white people in America married to white Eastern Europeans. It's a nightmare. And in fact, there was a heck of a story. In fact, I ran this on the DavidDuke.com website a couple years ago about a German woman who was married to an American, had a couple children, had been living in America, and they had a little bit of a foul up on her visa. And here's this woman. They shipped her with her small baby in the airport coming to New York. They shipped her back to Germany. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way they treat European Americans today, and yet, of course, there are millions of non-Europeans flaunting and breaking American immigration law, crossing the borders illegally, and the government does nothing about it. And this latest action by President, I hate to call him President, because the man shouldn't be dog catcher. I don't care who believes otherwise. I don't care how many conservatives might think, well, George Bush is better than... George Bush is a betrayal of every principle and every founding value of the United States of America. He gives lip service to certain aspects of our culture, but overwhelmingly his actions have been destructive of the United States of America, our European-American heritage, and the values of our country. His latest action about bringing forth some from national our reserves or National Guard units along the Mexican-American border is too little, too late, and absolutely not effective to do the job. America is bleeding to death in terms of our border, and we must find a way to seal this breach. We are losing our country, we're losing our heritage, we're losing our rights, we will be a minority in our own nation. It's coming. And it's just incredible, the hypocrisy. Now here's Israel, which is a nation that supports its heritage, even prevents intermarriage, does not even allow a marriage on its soil. You cannot get married, a Jew cannot even get married to a non-Jew on its soil legally. They have no civil marriage. Everything is religious, and they will not marry a Jew and a non-Jew in the nation of Israel. And additionally, Jews can even marry other Jews if they're a Kohanim, that is the traditional priest class of the Jewish people. They can't even marry a full-fledged, practicing religious Jew if they have a drop of ancestry, even if it's 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 generations back. It's an incredible hypocrisy. I want to talk about a couple other subjects. Today I'm with some friends and we're having a little get-together, and I'm also with an individual who's worked with me very closely over the years, and many of you can remember him, who came to the European American Conference. His name is Kenny Knight. He gave a fine lecture on political organization, and he acted very effectively and courageously and often in my campaigns for the House of Representatives in Louisiana, for Governor and Senator, Congress, and I'm with him and some other friends, and it's quite an interesting time here in Louisiana since Katrina. You know, it's interesting around the world when I talk to people about the hurricane, and they say, "Oh, it's a terrible thing. Did you endure some damage?" And of course, I did have some damage, very much, on my property here in Louisiana and on our headquarters. and my family home. And but as I tell people around the world, and they're kind of incredulous about it, the biggest problem wasn't the high waters and the storms. We can get past that. The biggest problem, the most horrendous and shocking problem of Katrina was, in fact, the actions of a significant portion of the population after this catastrophe, after this terrible human tragedy. And I believe this reaction was typical maybe of somewhere like Mogadishu, not typical of the United States of America. It's certainly not typical of the people of Europe. And I've been in situations where there's been traumatic periods of civilian death and destruction, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people come together, and they support each other more than ever. They give of themselves. This is not what happened with tremendous numbers of African Americans in the city of New Orleans. Literally, they formed massive gangs, as in the African continent and some of these kingdoms. They shot at helicopters. They invaded children's hospitals. That's right, children's hospitals. They invaded nursing homes. They killed, they raped, and they attacked. And even African American police officers participated in looting. We have some of those videos on my website. Now, I'm not condemning every African American, but let's let the chips fall where they may. I will be called racist, and I've been called racist for my positions. I don't consider myself a, quote, racist. I do consider myself a white preservationist. I want to preserve my heritage, my way of life, and a white civil rights activist. I don't want to see my rights lost. I don't want to see my heritage lost in my country. But I don't hate other people. But I do recognize when things go wrong. You know, I was called a racist for pointing out the fact that black mobs singled out and attacked white people on the basis of their racial heritage. Women, groups of white people, in fact, many times from different countries, the American press really covered up a lot of what happened during Katrina. It was an incredible cover-up. The reason I found out the truth is because I read media from all over the world. And what happened was, in different groups of tourists, or different groups of people came to the United States and visited New Orleans, whether as tourists or whether even they came to help in the wake of Katrina, the local press in those particular countries followed their exploits. So Katrina was a big story, and the story of their expatriates overseas suffering in Katrina was a big story. And universally, these whites from Ireland, from England, from Scotland, from France, from Denmark, from Norway, from Germany, from Australia, New Zealand, and all those countries I read reports of, sent back these horrific accounts of what happened to them. For instance, one group from Australia was in the Superdome, and they described it like the Wild West in a wagon train. They had to circle the wagons. They had to form a very tight circle and protect themselves from these marauding blacks who tried to drag the women off to rape them and murder them. It was just a horrendous type of a situation, the Superdome in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And I read another group from New Zealand, and they were talking about when they were leaving. One of the tourists said that she went to one of the policemen, African-American policemen, and said, we need help because the mob, the blacks along the way, men, women, I mean, a big mob. Just average people were screaming at the whites, screaming epithets at the whites, calling them white bee. I don't want to go into what the words were, but threatening the white women with rape, taunting them, screaming at them, threatening them. And she went to a police officer who's African American and said, "What can we do? Can you help us?" And the African American police officer said, it's every man for himself." That was the response. But, you know, if white mobs and whites were attacking wholesalely blacks, and media complained about this and talked about this and exposed this, they would never be called racist. they would say, let's get out this injustice that occurred, and let's expose it, and let's try to correct it. So maybe shame the people who did these things so that it wouldn't happen again. And yet, when it's white victims, there's no action, no real action. There's no condemnation of what happened, and no reality. The same thing happened, of course, in France during the riots. And it's just amazing. For instance, there was in one case, as I show on DavidDuke.com, where a white handicapped woman on crutches was set ablaze, set afire by the non-French, non-European rioters. And yet, there was no outcry about this racism. Racism, even to the point of setting people afire. Yet there'll be outcries continuously about any sort of racism dealing with, say, employment or dealing with some other aspect of life, housing discrimination. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is nothing more. There's no greater violation of human rights than murdering somebody or setting someone afire while they're alive, or torturing someone, or raping someone. And this is the thing that I've got to get over to my fellow European Americans, both in Europe, in the United States, and elsewhere around the world, that we have our civil rights being completely abrogated in the most important areas of life. In fact, the most important civil right of all is the right to live, and the right not to be abused, and the right not to be raped, and the right not to be robbed, not to be attacked. And this is literally what's happening on a massive scale around the world, that with the differential crime rates, the interracial crime rates are very, very different. Well, anyway, I have met so many people who've endured this Katrina. They've lost so much. I've met people here, friends, who lost their homes, their apartments. And thank you, by the way, those people in the movement that helped us restore and rebuild our office and get us back on our feet again after this storm. And hopefully we will not face another storm soon, but you never know. It's like a dice cup. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen this hurricane season or next hurricane season, but this is where we live, and this is our home. So people say, well, you should just leave. It's a dangerous area. Well, you know, we've been living here in this part of the world for hundreds of years. We're proud of our ancestry. It's a difficult life, and it's perhaps offers some danger, but it's we're certainly not going to abandon this area of the earth, and we want this for our children. And we also want the same things for the United States of America, in the sense of saving our country for our posterity, as the Constitution of the United States preamble states, for ourselves and our posterity. I'm not opposed to any other race, any other people, but we have a right to preserve our way of life. It's just so ironic that the Jewish supremacists, who have so much power in media and government, are able to literally unravel our immigration controls, because they see advantages in multiculturalism in the other countries they live in, while at the same time they support the Jewish supremacist state of Israel. Look, thanks so much for being with me, and I do look forward to being with you tomorrow. I'm going to be in the States for a few more days. I've made some speeches, and I've got a lot of work to do, and I've got an incredible speaking schedule over the summer. I have some major conferences to attend in Europe and speak and represent the United States of America and represent our viewpoint and hopefully continue to educate the people of the world of the dangers of Jewish supremacism and the need for Europeans and Americans to unite and to defend our very heritage, our way of life, our traditions, and our values. The last comment that I'm going to make is the continuing interest in the movie called The Da Vinci Code. And by the way, I've not read the book, but I've read a synopsis of the book, and I've read many reviews of the media by doing my internet research. What a great tool it is for us these days, ladies and gentlemen. And in reading about this movie, you know, I think, and I'm going to go see it so I can review it more properly for you, I've got a good friend who manages a movie theater in my hometown, and he lets me in free. And I'm going to go take a look at the movie. I'm going to give you an account of the movie as compared to what's going on. But from what I understand, the movie truly is a great attack on the Christian values of Europe and America. I mean, basically, and it's a fictional book, but it basically alleges that the church, the Christian church, has been involved in a massive cover-up for 2,000 years of the fact that Jesus was actually a married man, had children, and that basically he was not divine. And this is basically the theme of the movie, and that the church, the foundations of the church, even murdered people, many, many people, to cover up the secret. Of course, there's no biblical proof of any of this. In fact, there's no proof in the scriptures of any of the even the other books of the New Testament that were not accepted at the Council of Trent. Not even in those books is there any real evidence that Jesus was married or had offspring, and certainly there's no evidence truly presented of the people being killed for revealing this evidence. This book is complete hokum. The movie is hokum, but it's certainly an attack on Christendom. And ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting to note this, but when we have media in America that still will not show a picture of Muhammad because it offends Muslims, we have a media in America that obviously presents Jews in the most almost a holy light, you know, would never even question one line, one word of the Holocaust. But we have the same Jewish mass media, ladies and gentlemen, that literally attacks the traditions and values of the Western world. They truly do hate us, hate our traditions, hate our values, and hate our faith. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, and I really believe in religious freedom, and I believe in free thought, that people have a right to think what they want, and I think that people have a right to come to their own conclusions. But there's no question about the fact that the overwhelming majority of Europeans have affinity to the Christian faith. Whether or not they're a hardcore believer in every line of the Bible, they certainly recognize the beauty of Christian traditions. Even in Austria, if they don't believe in every line of the New Testament, they are christened in the church, and they're married in the church, and they're buried in the church. And that's just part of the heritage of our society, of our country, of our civilization. So they continually try to destroy and besmirch our traditions and our values, and I think they want to lessen our sense of gravity. Now, if you take a people who have a religious belief, and that religious belief is the core of their morality and their sense of responsibility for the community, they destroy that core belief, destroy it. What do you end up doing, ladies and gentlemen? You end up making these people less responsible and less apt to support movements and actions that stand up for decency and for good. And that's exactly what's going on right now in the world. So I'm going to take a look at that movie. I'm probably going to see it tomorrow night, and I will give you a report on the film and some of my impressions of it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. Thank you so much for being with me, as always, and I appreciate your support. The Duke Report, by the way, is in the mail. If you're not a subscriber, do so now. You can write to us at Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470, and we'll be happy to send you a copy. The subscription rates are $35 a year or $50 for 3 years, which is an excellent buy. And you can go right here to davidduke.com, the website, and you can subscribe right online very quickly using a credit card. And please don't forget that it's your contributions and your support online on the web and through the mail that make it possible for me to do my work, to do my traveling, to do my lecturing, not only in the United States and on many media and on the web, my website and in print, but also all over the world. And I'm doing the best I can to be a Johnny Appleseed for these ideas to our people wherever they dwell upon the earth. We're reaching people right now with this broadcast all over the world. All over the world. And we will continue to do so. I will continue to do so as long as I have breath, and hopefully I'll stay healthy and live a few more years and really bring many more people to the cause. Certainly my books, Jewish Supremacism and My Awakening, I have now made as much impact probably as any books in the last 30 or 40 years in terms of bringing people understanding as to the race issue and the Jewish problem, the Jewish threat that threatens truly not only Western mankind, but all of mankind. Thanks so much, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.